Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cadila Healthcare Limited Q3 FY15 post-results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Ganesh Nayak, CEO and Executive Director. Thank you, and over to you, Dr. Nayak.
Thank you very much. A very good evening to you and welcome to our post-result teleconference for the third quarter of FY15. We have with us Mr. Pankaj Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. Sharvil Patel, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Parekh, CFO, and Vishal Gaur, Senior General Manager, Investor Relations. During the quarter gone by, on a consolidated basis, our total income from operations was up by 17% year-on-year to 21.9 billion rupees. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and tax was up by 51% year-on-year to 4,472 million rupees. The EBITDA margin improved to 20.4% in Q3 FY15 from 15.8% in Q3 FY14. The profit before tax was up by 59% to 3,748 million rupees. Excluding the impact of increase in depreciation charge due to the revision in the useful lives of the assets, growth in PBT was 66% year-on-year. The net profit was up by 52% to 2,819 million rupees. Excluding the impact of the increase in depreciation charge due to the revision in the useful lives of the assets, growth in net profit was 59% year-on-year. The net margin improved to 12.9% in Q3 FY15 from 9.9% in Q3 FY14. Now, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter. Our business in the U.S. posted sales of 8,959 million rupees, up by 42%. We filed five additional ANDAs with the U.S. FDA and launched one new product in the U.S. during this quarter. Our India formulations business posted sales of 6,418 million rupees, up by 9%. The growth, excluding the impact of the discontinuance of BI products, was 10%. We launched eight new products, including line extensions in India during the quarter, of which two were for the first time in India. This included the launch of Exemptia, the world's first biosimilar of adalimumab. In Brazil, we filed eight dossiers with Anvisa, taking the cumulative filings to 123. In Mexico, we launched three new products, taking the cumulative number of launches to 15, and received approval for five products, taking the cumulative number of approvals to 22. Exports to the emerging markets grew by 23% and posted sales of 1,013 million rupees, with the launch of seven new products in different markets during the quarter. Zydus Wellness Limited posted sales of 1,140 million rupees, up by 10%. The net profit of Zydus Wellness was up by 66% to 444 million rupees. Excluding the impact of exceptional income and increase in depreciation charge due to the revision in the useful lives of the assets, growth in net profit of Zydus Wellness was 15.8%. Our API business grew by 14% and posted sales of 959 million rupees during the quarter. On the R&D front, we added five more products to the pipeline of biosimilars currently being developed, taking the cumulative number of such products under development to 25. We completed phase 1 clinical trials for 2 viral vaccines. Further, the Central Drugs Laboratory released 3 bacterial vaccines for phase 3 clinical trials. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Also, all are requested to please limit your question to 2 per participant. If time permits, we will come back to you should you have any more questions. The first question is from the line of Balaji Prasad from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon everyone and thanks for taking the questions. Firstly on biosimilars, congratulations on the launch of Exemptia. So despite patent expiry in the US next year, AbbVie's management have indicated that they don't expect any competition until 2020 or even later. So realistically for you, how many years and spend do you think you would need if you had to take it to the developed markets?
So Adalimumab currently for the emerging market, we have sufficient data on file to file registration those years. When it comes to developed market, we would it would all depend on exactly how FDA is taking a view about clinical additional clinical work if at all required. And that we would know only in about 8 to 9 months from now when we would have filed an BLA with US FDA. And then we will know exactly what is the cost involved. If a full-fledged clinical study is asked for in US, then the study cost could be in the vicinity of about $50 million. And the study can take maybe 12 to 18 months. I have not full idea about the additional patent around the adenomas, so I will not be able to give you exact timeline when and what how we are going to approach from a IP point of view this product.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be able to give you a specific timeline. We believe that we have an independent process, but it is still being evaluated by our lawyers.
I understood. Thank you. That's helpful. So if I have to take 1 year for some clarity plus another 2 years for trials, plus maybe 1 year for delay, so you're still looking at around 4 years, 4.5 years from now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So then which are the emerging markets that you'll be focusing on in the near term?
The near term, we are going to look at basically the emerging markets, particularly the Asian market and some of the Latin American markets.
Understood. On your ANDA filings, I kind of see a slight deceleration this quarter along with your R&D spend, which seems to have seen a substantial decrease this year. So it was 6.5-7% last year at the 9-month stage, and this year it's around 5.4%. So is this deceleration just going to be there for this year, or is it the new norm that you'll be operating at, and corresponding to that, what's the filings that we can expect?
The 6-7% R&D spend will continue now from a quarter-to-quarter perspective. It could be always some quarter more, some quarter less, because whenever we won't move into clinical studies, the cost goes up, and then when you're not in the clinical study, the cost comes down. So it depends upon that. But we are long-term guidance is that we will be spending 6-7% on R&D.
Answered. Just one final question on the wellness business. It's good to see the pickup.
Sorry, wellness, I will not entertain any case because we had a call yesterday.
Fair.
I would encourage you to join the wellness call and not ask questions with this, so that people have time to ask questions with respect to Cadilla business.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, I'm just struggling to reconcile your gross margins, you know, sequentially speaking, the second quarter of 15 and the third quarter. So second quarter, we were around at 40% material cost as a percentage of our sales. And this quarter, we are at 35. So I understand the price hike taken in one product in the US, but that cannot swing the needle as much as it has moved. So what exactly is you know, changing to give us such an improvement in gross margins?
So yeah, it's there is some impact of the price increase plus product mix. Both put together is basically reaching us to this level.
But sir, which geography is the product mix changing so materially?
Mainly business mix, I would say. Larger growth in US.
Okay. And sir, on the R&D side, actually, you know, just picking up the question from the previous participant, your absolute R&D spend actually this quarter has been significantly higher than your previous quarters. And I understand that we have done a lot of filings prior to the FDA changing the data norms for the ANDA filings. So but still our number of ANDA filings for this quarter has been only 5 compared to the earlier quarters when we filed 20-30 ANDAs. So is the understanding correct that most of the R&D spend gone in this quarter would be for subject to those ANDAs which were filed earlier and in completing basically those ANDAs and getting them in a better shape?
So these are for the new NDAs. Most of the R&D cost now is basically for the new NDAs and not actually, but there are a lot of NDAs in the development.
Mm-hmm.
They don't happen in a particular quarter that all filing does take place, but it's basically, spending on that. And of course, it also indicates the kind of pipeline we are building going forward where there are NDAs which cost a little more comparatively because of clinical studies.
If you look at the 9 months period data compared to 6.8% of last year, you have 6.5% in the current year 9 months period.
9 month period, right.
So only look at on a 12 month basis rather than a quarterly basis.
No, right. That's helpful. And so on the staff cost, our staff cost has grown materially year over year. Where is this increment actually coming from?
So basically it is because we have provided for the additional provision on the retirement benefits of the employees, taking into account the prevailing yield on the government securities. So the discount rate which is applied on the actual valuation of retirement benefits of the employees has gone down from 9% to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And that has resulted into an additional liability.
Right. But, sir, is this revaluation of this liability a regular process, happens every year?
Yes, it happens every year.
And around the same quarter? Around the same quarter, third quarter?
Normally it happens in the last quarter, but because there has been a sudden reduction in the government yield of the government securities,
mm-hmm.
We thought that it should not happen that the entire burden comes in the last quarter of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So proactively we have provided for it in the December quarter itself. So there will be some additional charge in the last quarter also,
right?
But not this high.
Right. And so, last question, if I may, on the biochem side now. So I understand our overall business growth in India has been 10%, excluding BI products. Could you also split the growth in biochem and legacy Cadila business?
So obviously we are not giving that specific details, and I in fact don't have with me specific details, but I can say that biochem growths are higher than the average growth.
Higher than the average growth. But sir, have you seen margin expansion in the biochem portfolio?
Yeah.
And what is that margin expansion led by?
I don't have the details, so if you ask me specific number, I don't have. Aditi, I will encourage you to discuss with Vishal later on.
Sure. I'll get back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Doshi from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Pankaj Bhai, for a good set of results. I have two questions. One is that can you just throw a little bit more light? After a long time, we are seeing a growth in the JV sales. So really, which JV has grown and how sustainable is this growth?
So there is growth coming because there was some sale made to the Abbott business.
Mm-hmm.
We just started some business. We have this relationship with Abbott.
Correct.
So picked up in this quarter, that's why we're seeing some growth.
So basically, this is sustainable going forward in your view?
Yes.
All right. And Pankaj bhai, you had given us a vision for the company to go to 3 billion etc. sometime back. And you know, a couple of years went a little flat, but now I think you're back on a very high growth track. How sustainable do you see the overall performance in terms of, you know, what are the aspirations going forward and how sustainable do you see this performance?
So, number one, we have a goal to achieve 10,000 crore in this financial year to FY16.
Correct.
So, that is a 10,000 crore number. And our focus, if you know that this current year, our objective as an organization, we decided that we must not only grow, but we also should see the margin expansion, which was actually wanting. So that is, we are on the track for making that sure. And I think going forward, we would like to continue this journey in terms of both improving the sale and improving the margins. Generally, our internal guideline for us is that if we can expand the margin by about 1% year on year, that would bring us back to the margins which we always enjoyed.
So realistically speaking, can you go back to about 23, 24, 25% in that band?
Yeah, but it will take some time. It will not happen overnight, but it will take some time. But definitely it will happen in about 2 years' time. And as far as sustainability of business is concerned, I do not see any challenge except the regular challenge of competition in the marketplace. We do not see other challenges, and we believe that in going forward, we should be able to continue growing the business and show good bottom line increase as well.
Okay, so you're quite confident that all the parts of your business will contribute very well in 2015-16?
Yes.
All right. Wish you all the very best, Pankaj bhai.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This was a good question, and we would request you all to, please ask questions which are related to a little long-term and strategy rather than getting into, detailed numbers. For detailed numbers, you can always get in touch with Vishal later on.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. First, on the India business, sir, we've seen, high single-digit growth, and the difference between BI and, XBI actually shrinking now. So what, in terms of outlook, we are seeing growth, especially when, India market as such is seeing some pressure, and do we continue to hold our 12 to 14% kind of growth target for next 2 years?
Yeah. See, our growth currently is 9%, but if you take this BI, as I mentioned in my opening talk, it comes to 10. And there are two small other elements. One is, this price reduction which we had in one of our large products, Dexona. And the other is in some of the cardio-diabetic drugs. So for the price reduction in Dexona, we have lost about a little close to 1%. And another close to 1% because of the limited stocking of the cardio-diabetic products. So otherwise, if we look at it objectively, our growth is around 12%. And we find no reason why the growth should be more than that in the coming quarters, considering that we have borne the brunt in the previous 3-4 quarters.
So now the pain points of NLEM and BI would be over starting the current quarter, right?
Sorry?
From Jan to March quarter onward, there will be no impact of XBI or XNLEM, right?
Yes, correct.
So we will continue to see a double-digit growth going forward.
True.
Perfect. And sir, second question is on the U.S. Two parts. One is on the 483 observations that we have seen in Moraya, post which we have not seen approvals coming through. If you could just give broad level, what are the key findings and how comfortable we are in terms of resolving the same?
So basically, the inspection which took place had observations with respect to investigation, and that was calling for changing an SOP and undertake a re-investigation and submit to FDA, which we have already completed and given to FDA, and we are awaiting response from FDA. With respect to the approval is concerned, we did receive a tentative approval even recently. Two tentative approval we have received. After that, we also received one final approval of one of the injectable products which we sell through Seagen, and we have received several of the post-approval supplement approvals. There were no data integrity related issues which were there in the FDA 43 observations, and we have already submitted the response, and thereafter we have also given them monthly updates
on whatever commitment we made, which are being completed. So we do not see any long-term risk. We are only awaiting for FDA to review that and come back to us. Usually, as you know, that after the inspection, it takes about 4 to 6 months before FDA completes the review and come back to reverse back to the company. So that is what I think I can say more about this.
Okay, and post this change in SOP, have you seen more recalls, which was a prime concern of the 483?
Yeah, actually, most of the recalls are very old complaint-related recalls, which actually, because of this new SOP, we needed to call do some recalls, and that's why we saw some recalls happening because of that.
Okay, but now with change SOP, you don't see that happening in future?
No, going forward, we do not expect that.
Perfect. And sir, lastly, on this US again, in terms of, there was a Markman hearing in January for Lialda, mesalamine products that you have. If you could update on the same, sir, what's the status? Or we still feel confident of monetizing it in next 12 to 15 months?
Yeah, we are confident. There are no issues as such, and we are confident that we should be able to move forward.
So any update on the Markman hearing you can give us?
Not at this moment, because the outcome has not yet come.
Okay, so I have more question. I'll join back the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, sir. First question is on the hydrochloroquine. Did this quarter have the full benefit of price increase, or was it only partial benefit this quarter?
Yeah, because we were not selling this product before, so this quarter we had a benefit of SCQ selling.
But this quarter performance, would this be fully reflective of the, let's say, the 100%, was it the 3 month sales that you booked in this quarter for this product?
Yes.
So would it be fair estimate that the size of this product at the manufacturer level would be somewhere between $120 to $140 million?
No, I don't think so that high, but we don't know. I cannot give you a specific number.
It's lower than
at
that.
At this moment, but it will not be that high.
Okay, got it. And just to your previous answer, about Sirolimus final approval, what's stopping that? Is that the
one? We are awaiting FDA approval. We have returned to them and we should hear from them any moment. We are awaiting final approval.
So is that only related to the 480 observations that you have, or is it a separate?
We have not heard specifically from FDA, so it's very difficult for me to say why the approval has not come in, but they have said that they will revert back to us in about a month's time.
That's helpful, sir. And just last question, the emerging markets, can you just roughly help to understand this 23% growth is very impressive, but which market in particular is helping you grow that much?
Yeah, we cover quite a few markets in Africa and Middle East and Asia Pacific, but a very pointed answer to your specific question is it has come from South Africa. We have done very well in South Africa in this quarter.
And this, your presence in South Africa is a branded generic business there or tender business presence there?
Yes, it's a branded generic business.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nimesh Mehta from Research Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. I think most of my questions have been answered. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this opportunity. See, in fact, first of all, on the Hospira JV side, since Hospira is getting acquired by Pfizer, so on that front, what is your view and whether the business scope is really expanding, or what is your initial thought on that, or whether you have heard anything from the partner or anything on that front, sir?
No, it's too early to say anything with respect to that, except that we have heard from the partner that this is being done, so we are happy that the world's number one company is going to become our partner.
Okay. So as of now, there is no business assessment. Why?
It's
because
it's too early, because it's still just announced. No?
Yeah, correct. Okay. And sir, in fact, since long that we have been waiting for the approvals like Toprol, this Lanza Brazil ODT and all that, but still it has not come. Any specific reason or?
No, but you know, there is generally a slowing down of approval process. You must have heard from many Indian players and generic players actually globally that approval rates are lower, and if you see the quarter approval numbers also are lower compared to even last year.
Okay.
So we don't know exactly why, but it is it's a general slow approval process.
Okay. And whether the matured portfolio that we are having in US, that has really means what is the kind of growth that you have seen for that? Though in the recent past we have launched couple of few other generic and couple of new launches that happened, that certainly which benefited. But what is the kind of trend that you are seeing for your matured product basket?
We do see some growth in some of the mature products also. And it, again, you know, the current scenario in US is that product supply is a challenge, and as a result, there is always short supplies time and again for one or other product. So there are always opportunities to grab more additional business, even on the mature products.
Okay.
And sometimes you also have an opportunity to increase prices.
Okay. No, in fact, my basic question, basic reason behind asking this question is that, see, considering this year's base, what is the kind of growth that you are seeing visualizing for your US business in the subsequent year, or calendar 15 rather?
So if we are expecting something like 20% growth happening in the US market. The only condition is that I should have product approvals coming up as well. If product approvals don't come, then the growth at 20% may not be possible. And in a scenario that is, suppose there are no product approvals going to happen at all, we can still see maybe a kind of 8-10% growth.
Okay. See, this Abilify, Namenda, and all these are like opportunities. Would be the opportunity for the current calendar year, or how is it, sir? Any sense on that?
Well, there are some legal issues involved, so we are basically consulting a lawyer before we can commit whether there will be opportunity this year or not.
Okay.
That could be opportunity, or they may not be opportunity because there are some legal issues involved here.
Just one last question, sir. See, considering your initiative towards the biosimilars and even vaccines and other the innovative molecule portfolio, see, what is the kind of capex that you are now anticipating for next 1 or 2 years?
Okay, capex you are asking?
Capex, yes.
Expect about 500 crore rupees capex this year.
And sir, okay, this is means FY16, sir?
Yeah, FY16.
Okay, yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Sharma from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I had two questions. Basically, the first is, you know, regarding disruption-related opportunities. Has the company seen, you know, some additional disruption-related opportunities in the recent past apart from HCQS?
No.
Yeah. None, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the second one was related to warfarin, specific product. So, you know, we have seen that, you know, there are price increases which are taken in the market. But despite that, you know, your quantities haven't increased. So are there any scale-up issues with specific to warfarin? And do you have a market share target in mind?
So we are currently having a certain market share, and our goal is not to increase our market share, not because we cannot produce more, but that's the way our philosophy is. So we do not want to get extra market share on this particular product.
Okay, so basically, I mean, you're saying that, you know, basically the corporate companies have settled to their, you know, a particular...
We have certain internal guidelines in the company.
Sure.
Where we would basically fix our market share at certain levels, and beyond that, we would not like to take the market share.
Understood.
That's the strategy we have.
Understood. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, all are requested to limit their question to 2 per participant. If time permits, we will come back to you should you have any more follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Balaji Prasad from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, most of my questions have been answered. Just one on a insignificant market, rather Japan. Around the ground conversation with companies, they tell us that they're looking at a 25% volume growth over the next few years. Is this something that will make you reconsider Japan as a prospective market?
No. They have exited the market, finally.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manoj Garg from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to all of you and thanks for taking my question. Sir, like while you have given the, you know, revenue guidance of 10,000 crores for FY16, are you still maintaining your 21% kind of margin guidance for the same?
Yes.
Okay, great. And second, sir, recently, you know, in Lialda litigation case, Supreme Court has ruled in favor of innovator. And, you know, probably that means that the generic entry is likely to be now, you know, beyond somewhere 2018-20. While I think you made a comment responding to one question that you still feel that over the next 12 months, you can launch Lialda.
That judgment was not with respect to our case.
Okay. Okay.
That was consequence to the Tevas case and more details I cannot explain you legal on legal terms, but whenever we can meet, I can briefly tell you, I am not a legal person to really comment in a proper way.
Uh-huh.
We can talk to you that time.
Okay, so we have reason to be...
Our case is not directly connected with that case.
Fair enough.
That's what I can tell you.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, question on the transdermal side. It's been some time, you know, we've done our investments and we would be expecting smaller products to, you know, start getting monetized from fiscal 16 and the bigger ones from 17-18 onwards. Are we still on track on that path or we have seen some fast track or slow track?
Sorry, so Prakash, I can say that we have received CRL and we have responded to it. So we see that the files are moving. So we should be able to get approvals. I cannot give you a timeline given the uncertainty about approvals at this moment with FDA, with all the companies. But we are moving forward, that's what I can say. So I'm still maintaining that FY16 we should have a possibility of launching a product and 16, 17, 18 more.
Perfect. And similarly, if you could throw some light on the nasals and topicals, it's been a couple of years we you know, started filing these products. So, would it be 16, 17, we should start seeing some approvals or it could take more time?
I think we should get approvals in 16, 17 because there will be sufficient time for FDA to review and start approving products.
Okay. So, just, you know, going a little back, you had a, you know, a rough patch when your approvals were not coming, 16-17% margins. And now with the, you know, operating leverage playing out with your US business picking up 20% margin, now with these higher margin products coming in, transdermal, nasals, topicals, what kind of margins you envisage from a 2 to 3 year outlook, sir?
I just mentioned earlier in the question that, you know, internally we believe that we can increase the market margin by about 1% every year.
That will be too conservative, sir.
Well, listen, that's what I think. And because you don't know when product approval will come, what kind of competition it will be there, what kind of pricing pressure will be there, what kind of margin will be there. They're all assumptions, no? So an assumption, it's fair to assume that some assumption will come to, some assumption may not come to, but overall, if you average increase margin by 1% every year on year, that would ensure that, you know, margin improves going forward as well. Again, you know, I would be happy if it is more, but I cannot say and tell you that it's going to be more than 1% on an average. Doesn't mean that every year 1%. It could be 2% in a year and 0.5% in another year, another percent, another 1%. All that can be possible.
Sure.
Depending upon the product mix and other things.
Okay. And so last two questions on ANDA filing. Earlier used to give a broad segmentation in terms of orals, nasals, transdermals. We did file 5. If you could give broadly, where are these? Are these into niche areas or?
We shall to give you the information.
Perfect. And last question for Nitin sir on the tax rates. We have seen some spike in the current quarter. So are we still on track with the 17-18% kind of tax rate for the whole year and the next year?
Yes.
So we should, any specific reasons, sir, for the spike?
No, this particular quarter, there is more income in Cadila standalone. That is why, you know, percentage higher. But on the whole, it should not be more than around 18% for the year.
Okay. And year after also similar, sir?
Yeah, you can expect the same.
Perfect, sir. Thanks, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. But any thoughts on the US branded business? Most of your peers or even the larger companies globally have been, you know, have been pretty strongly focusing on building branded footprints in US. How are we looking to approach this part of the business?
At this moment, we have no specific plan to give you. There is another opportunity which is going forward definitely there. We are currently working on several products in that area, but it's too early for us to really start building a forecast on that portfolio.
And second is on the M&A front, we used to be a reasonably prolific acquirer of assets in terms of spotting value opportunities and going after them. We've been reasonably quiet for the last few couple of years, I guess. How important do you think is inorganic growth for your future growth strategy?
Inorganic growth is important, but I think we would only basically going to look at strategic buy or value buy. So there are a number of opportunities keeps on coming, and if there are good opportunities, we are not going to be shy of acquiring.
And so when you talk about strategic assets, which are the key strategic gaps that you would prefer to fill, I mean, broadly speaking, going forward?
More in the area of specialized dosage form manufacturing.
Okay. And so secondly, as an organizational basis, in terms of the kind of capability you're trying to get into, are you probably one of the more broad-based or more diversified platforms with your focus on biosimilars, vaccines, as well as a host of delivery formats? So organizationally, how are you, preparing the organization to handle these or ready, to handle all of these challenges that you, these diversification that you're looking at across a pretty wide spread of capabilities?
I think they are all independent business, though there is one big balance sheet, which is Cadila Healthcare Limited, you see it, but ultimately they're all independent business within business, and they run pretty independently. So though it looks complex, but there are leadership for each of the business, and they are responsible for developing and growing, and my role is more a directional role to basically guide them how to move forward.
But so when you're getting into these areas, the leadership is all ingrown, or over the years you've sort of brought in a lot of talent from...
It's a mix of both ingrown and also hired from outside.
And most of these hirings are what, at the technical level?
Both technical and commercial level.
Okay. And if I can squeeze in housekeeping questions, sir, this U.S. growth in the current quarter, is this largely on account of the HCQS introduction, or, you know, this other parts of the business which have also grown in the current quarter?
Other part of business also has grown, and also we launched one product which has also contributed.
This is not HCQS?
No.
Okay. And is it reasonable to expect the U.S. to sort of sustain at these levels going forward, given, assuming nothing else, not really considering any new launches coming through?
If the launches, if we get approvals, we definitely are seeing a 20% growth next year also.
Okay, sir. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, sir, what is the kind of gross block investment that we've done in vaccines and biosimilars?
Vishal, would you please provide him the information? I don't have in front of me, but Vishal will give you the Chirag information.
Okay, sir. And sir, on HCQS, sir, what is the kind of price hike that we've seen in the market?
Well, I don't have specific details with me.
But it would be, because some of our competitors have said 20 times.
I don't know. First of all, we were not in that market. We only made it available when the market, there was a shortage in the market. So we don't know exactly, but we believe that we have the lowest price in US market at this moment.
And in terms of, scale up, you are now scaled up to sort of address a substantially large part of this market?
Yeah, well, we have this internal guideline of market share, and we are fully geared up to take care of that market share.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just want to update on that Sovaldi we had licensing. And now in India, the patent has been set aside. So just wanted to know some sense how the situation is look like? Means, will we seeing more competition there, or there would be some change in our strategy there?
First of all, there are already enough competition because there is not one license but seven licenses. So I don't think that competition is not there. It's there. And as far as I believe, again, I may not be correct fully, so I don't want to misguide you. But this is for a sub-patent and not the main patent, where the patent has been denied. So we don't know exactly what is the further lot outcome.
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kartik Mehta from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you share the outlook on the India sales? So basically, if we have to remove the products which were discontinued in this year, for the next 2-3 years, what is the number we should run with in terms of new launches, and also in terms of the price increases that you can take? Thank you.
Yeah, you see, I answered this question a little while ago, and that is our growth reflected is 9%, but if you make some correction, it comes to around 11.5-12%. And we had our woes last year in terms of the two products from BI being discontinued, as well as the NPPA's price reductions. So we expect to have a steady growth in a good double-digit number for 2015 as well as 2016 calendar. And in terms of new products, it's part of our regular pipeline. In fact, we are among the top three companies in the country in terms of maximum number of launches.
So of this 12-odd% growth that we had, is it roughly possible to share the split according to you in, let's say, new product increase in price also?
Yeah, we can, but that Vishal will give you separately.
And in terms of your new launches, any plans to launch a new therapies where we are not there, or will it be in existing areas?
At this point in time, only in the existing therapies. We do not wish to prospect or scout any new therapies.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar M. from India Nivesh Securities. Please go ahead.
With respect to Europe business, there has been like some amount of slowdown for like 9 months. The sales have contracted by 14% approximately on year-on-year basis. So just have outlook on the same.
See, one is France is a major part of our European business, and there since this last quarter, the legal or official discount from 17% has increased to 40%. So to that extent, there has been an impact on the top line. Also, last year in this quarter, in this particular quarter, because of this impending discount change in policy, there was a lot of stocking up by the wholesalers there.
Okay.
So to that extent, even that has had an impact on the growth for this quarter. But otherwise, by and large, we are in line with the market growth.
But then now this discount, since the discount has increased, and this will be the discount rate going forward, right?
Yes.
So for FY16, like approximate, how much can be the growth considered for Europe business?
We don't give guidance on that, but suffice it to say that whatever the market is going at, we should be matching that growth.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my follow-up. Sir, on the transdermal filings that you had made in U.S., so does the case that Sharad Govil is facing with Mylan, does that impact the approvability of our transdermal ANDAs?
No.
Okay. And sir, secondly, the adverse currency impact that you must have seen in your LATAM business, how much of that would you feel is, you can pass on to your consumers at the end of the day, or the patients at the end of the day?
Objectively speaking, not much, but we are currently studying that aspect too.
Right. Right. And so the acquisitions that you talked about, the potential acquisitions, you know, you're scouting for, any internal benchmarks that you have in terms of payback period, ROCE, that you use to evaluate such acquisitions?
Yeah, we do have. We do have.
So would you like to add more color to that as to what the benchmark is?
You can make it as colorful as you want. You can talk.
You can tell you the details.
You can talk to me and get the colors.
But of course, we do have
guidelines.
Right. And sir, if I can just squeeze in one question on Zydus Wellness, if you don't mind.
No, I will not take that because you must join a Zydus Wellness conference. I am not on the board. I may not have the data, so I would urge all of you, please join the Zydus Wellness call and there they will be willing to answer all questions.
Sure, sir. So, sir, instead of that, I'll ask you one question on the animal health business then. sir, on the... okay, sir. So, on the animal health business, sir... What is the opportunity that we are addressing with this business? We have a very able partner, and we have an age old presence now in the business. What is the opportunity one we are addressing, and two, what is the vision here? I mean, the business is too small today in the context of things that we are engaged in. You know, the other businesses are much larger compared to this segment. But what are we trying to address through this business? Why are we in this business really?
So first of all, animal health business is a very stable business.
Mm-hmm.
It's an attractive business, standalone for sure. And we are among the top players, so we have all reasons to sustain this business even going forward. And we see enough growth opportunity within the animal health business, and going forward also the business will remain attractive. So we clearly see that an advantage that we have. And you know, till recently it was a separate company. From a larger perspective, we merged into Cadela,
mm-hmm.
but it is still pretty much run as an independent business unit. And I'm more an investor in that business than anything else.
Oh, okay. So, sir, would you have sort of a SBU head in the business, or a business head in the business who runs the business? Like, you would have a person in charge of that business who would run the business independent of, you know, the other businesses in Cadila. That's how it would work.
We do have.
Yeah. And sir, are the dynamics of the business similar to the branded market dynamics in India? As in, is...
Different.
Or is it more like the wellness business, the dynamics?
No, it is not. It is closer to that, but not. But there is strong brand recalls in that, and it is more, it's not typically like... pure pharma business, a little different than pharma business,
mm-hmm.
because it is built over a long term. It is not built overnight, and you know, there is a lot of brand loyalty exists within the consumers.
Right. And so last question on this, are margins in the business better than our consolidated margins, EBITDA?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deep Master from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you. All my questions were answered.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Dasad from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. I just have a very simple question. I wanted to understand, since now IPCA is coming back in HCQS market, what would be the impact on the pricing and volume for Cadila? I mean, would the price again go back to the same level, or it would be remain stable going forward?
First of all, we are only addressing the part of the market and not full. That's the first point. There are already other players in the market. We are not the only player in the market at this moment. So we do not expect our market share to go down from where we are today, because we don't have dominant market share in the market, and as such there is we don't expect the price to go down significantly.
Okay, thank you sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Sharma from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking up a follow-up question. Just wanted to some more color on the 483 on Moraiya. If I understand, the observations were around the way the market complaints were handled by Cadila. So in that sense, you know, final approval of a partner's product, still leaves you to open to that risk, because, you know, the partner would be handling his own market complaints.
Not really. This is not, I'm just giving you data that I also received tentative approval for Cadila product.
Okay, okay.
So it's not that exactly. What we said is that they wanted some amendment to the way we were doing complaint handling, and I think that's what we have done.
Right. And what's your perception, sir? I mean, do you think this is a relatively lighter observation that you will be able to handle? Your perception.
See, first of all, please understand one thing. No FD observation should be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
FD observations are always important observations, and one has to give full weightage to any observation, whether it's small or big, from a perception point of view. So all observations are FDA are never lighter. You have to give full justice to whatever the observation is there. And any observation, whatever it may be, there are ways and methods to with you which you can address. We believe that we have addressed it properly and given to, given the feedback to FDA. FDA is reviewing it currently, and we will know very soon what is the outcome.
Sure, sir. Any next steps in this regard from your side, or it's
so okay? We have completed our response and other part of it, so we are waiting for FDA to review it now.
Understood. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, on Lipaglyn, we had fairly good success in India, and we had talked about taking this to emerging markets. So how far we are from the filing and approval stage, and also are we looking at the developed markets? Any update there, sir?
So we have filed our applications for approvals in markets now, and also we have started and we have initiated our discussion with regulators for filing into the key market. Some interaction has already taken place, and we expect in next 3 to 4 months clarity about the path going forward for the regulatory market.
Okay, and filing you are saying already taking place for the emerging market?
Emerging market.
And the approvals one should expect?
Should be in about 12 months time or so.
And pricing would be similar, sir, or in terms of profitability? Or?
See, market to market will depend, but prices will be maybe little higher side than what we have in India. But then we have a good margin.
Perfect. Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Reshmi Sancheti from KR Choksi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one question related to animal healthcare business. How many total products are there currently in the market, in domestic market?
That's a very difficult question. I cannot answer this on the call, but I will request Vishal to give you the information.
Okay, sir, but have we started cross-selling our animal healthcare products in the export markets also?
We have started, just begun.
Okay, fine. I'll take it from Vishal. Thanks, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from Comgest India. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. To start with the bookkeeping question, can you give the latest debt and cash positions that you have?
So latest net debt is about 2,000 crore rupees, mm-hmm. and cash position is 600 crore rupees.
Okay. And regarding the 483, the recalls that you had, they have been happening over the last 2-3 years, not specific to Cadila, probably for other companies also. But has there been a change in the US FDA's procedure for appraising product recalls, or if that has not been the case, was it not possible for the company to proactively have looked at this issue and addressed it on a preemptive basis?
So first of all, there is no change per se, but it's a perception of a thing, so I cannot specifically discuss a particular issue, but I think we believe that the FDA expect the things, because we had previous inspections and where the investigations were acceptable, and now there's an investigation. This investigation, they had some additional observations, so we respect that, and we are taking corrective actions.
Okay. And I mean, in your experience, if there are precedents of a similar kind in the past, how has the US FDA handled them?
I do not have a specific example to give you. FDA, you know, every reviewer is a separate person, so we don't know what the reviewer which is going to review our file is going to take a view. So it's very difficult for me to comment on that in a specific way. Our understanding is that there were certain things they wanted to, us to do, and we have done it.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't have to do anything else.
And finally, I mean, the 20% growth guidance that I mean, base case growth guidance that you are giving for the U.S. sales is subject to how many approvals there?
Anything around 15.
Around 15 approvals. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much and look forward to interacting with you again in the month of May. Thank you and a very good evening.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cadila Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.